Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome to the Cullen Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Cullen Economics Report.
Hey everyone, welcome in. TV weekend edition of the KE Report. Corey Fleck here and Chad Marquitz. We are your hosts for this weekend's edition. Also your hosts throughout the week on our website and podcast, kereport.com. A lot of daily editorials and again, a lot of company updates again. So please go back through the week, click on those company updates, and as always, keep in touch with Chad and I through email. All of our email addresses are posted throughout those company postings. We love hearing what all of you think of the companies and what your thoughts are on these markets. Very excited to report that we are kicking off this weekend's show with Rick Rule, well known to all of you, investor and speculator, a lot in the resource sector. Now, Rick, it's been a while since I had you back on the show, and I really just wanted to bring everyone up to speed on your thoughts here initially on the precious metals. We'll cover a number of different commodity sectors, but when it comes to gold and silver, they've been in about a year and 3 month correction right now, and the stocks have been crushed, both large cap and small cap stocks. The question that is creeping into some investors' minds is this bull market in gold and silver over? Let's start there. Please share your thoughts, Rick.
Well, the short answer, Corey, is no. A more instructive answer, however, might go into the nuances. The circumstance that we're in is normal and natural in a bull market. This is a cyclical decline in a secular bull market, a statement which I'll defend in a minute. I have been through two prior gold bull markets. The first one beginning in 1970 and ending in 1981. The second one beginning in 2000 and ending in 2011. Note that both of those were 11-year-long affairs. So the duration of a typical bull market is a decade or better. By my counting, we've been into this one for 4 years, so I suggest that we're still in the first half of the bull market. By dimension, too, if you look at this bull market, the metal price has gone from, say, $1,000 an ounce to $1,750 an ounce. The first bull market that I was involved in, the gold price cleared from $35 an ounce, admittedly price controlled, to $850 an ounce. What's that, 24-fold increase something? The second one, perhaps more representative, the gold price went from $256 to $1,900 an ounce. So both by dimension and duration, if history is a precedent, this bull market is less than halfway done. I think it's important to note, too, that if you look on a representative index of gold equities, the best that I know of is the Barron's Gold Mining Index going back 60 years, what you will see is that periodic periods of malaise and decline are normal and natural. I remember my first big one in 1975. The gold price had gone from $35 to $200. And, of course, everybody had the courage of a six-fold price increase. The gold price then in 1975 declined from $200 an ounce to $100 an ounce, which is to say a 50% decline, and the equities fell further. That, of course, shook the faith of many of the so-called faithful. They took advantage of a bottom to get out and missed a market that moved in 5 short years from $100 an ounce to $850 US per ounce. So make no mistake, what we're going through is normal and natural. Let's look, however, Corey, at why we're in a bull market, separate apart from history. What if this one is different? In my experience, and I'm using gold as a sort of a catch-all phrase for precious metals and precious metals equities, the precious metals prices tend to do well when savers and investors are concerned about the security of their savings denominated in fiat instruments. The world's benchmark savings instrument is the U.S. 10-year Treasury. It's the deepest and most liquid market in the world, allegedly the best issuer in the world. I say allegedly, advisedly. But at any rate, it is the marquee savings instrument in the world. Let's look at that instrument with regards to people being concerned about their savings. In the first instance, and we'll come back to negative interest rates later, this instrument pays 125 basis points a year. You give the U.S. government money, and they give you 1.25% a year for 10 years in a currency which they acknowledge is losing purchasing power at the rate of 5.5% a year. In other words, if you give them money, they promise to give you a greater than 4% negative yield every year, cumulatively and compound for 10 years, which means that at the end of the 10-year period, you get back money that has about a third of its purchasing power remaining. So gold is fighting an investment class that guarantees you loss. My friend Jim Grant calls that return-free risk. Let's look into the details of this, why people might be concerned about fiat instruments. The first thing, of course, is quantitative easing. Corey, if you did that, if you printed flex, you would be charged with counterfeiting and you'd be thrown in the slammer. But if you were a congressman or a member of parliament, it would be called policy and you would become reelected. Irrespective of whether you've committed a felony or not, the creation of spurious currency units, irrespective of who creates them, whether it's Corey or Canada, it has the impact, the immediate arithmetic impact, of debasing the currency and, of course, makes people concerned about the efficacy of said currency. The second and probably more alarming threat is debt and deficits. I don't know the appropriate Canadian number, but in the United States, merely at the federal level, we owe $29 trillion, $23 trillion net of the size of the Fed balance sheet. But more alarming than that, the off-balance sheet liabilities of the federal government, things like Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, the various unfunded trust funds, exceed, by the estimate of the Congressional Budget Office, $120 trillion. So merely at the federal level, not including state and local governments in the United States, we owe $150 trillion, and we propose to service this debt with a federal budget that is in deficit by $3.5 trillion a year. Explain to me how you service $150 trillion a year in debt when you add to it every year by $3 trillion. The third component, which we've discussed a little bit already, is negative real interest rates. The idea that negative real interest rates are a force of nature is farcical. Why would you loan money to another consumer, foregoing your consumption in favor of his or her immediate consumption, and pay them for the privilege? Why would you loan somebody money at 1.5%, knowing that the currency was depreciating at 5.5%, while simultaneously taking the credit risk? This is truly insane. The fourth reason why I think the precious metals bull market will get underway with greater furor, in fact, than when it started, is because the market share of precious metals and precious metals equities is at almost all-time lows. It is estimated that the market share of precious metals and precious metals-related securities in the U.S. market is 0.5% of the market capitalization of all savings and investment products in the United States. Now, what's important to note about that is that the three-decade mean market share of precious metals is estimated to be between 1.5% and 2%. So gold doesn't need to defeat the U.S. dollar. Gold doesn't need to defeat savings bonds. Gold doesn't need to defeat certificates of deposit. All precious metals need to do is recoup their three-decade-long mean market share, and demand for precious metals and precious metals-related investments will triple, which is precisely what I think is going to happen.
All right, Rick, thanks for addressing that. We are running low on time for this segment, but we're definitely having you back on next segment. We're going to talk about some of the other nuances within the precious metals sector and what it is going to take to draw some of these investors back in. Everyone, stick around. We're going to be right back with Rick Rule.
Al Corland's firm, A.B. Corland & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corland Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
We know that the 1% globalist elites have hijacked and subverted the U.S. economy, culture, and government. The battle to take America back begins with Scott McKay, the Patriot Street Fighter, and his Advancing the Fork in Line tour. Now here's Scott.
Hi, this is Scott McKay, better known as Patriot Street Fighter, the high-octane, full-throttle truth hammer, and I'm bringing the Advancing the Fork in Line tour to a city near you. I and a host of other speakers will be on stage with an arsenal of issues from health rights, human rights, and the freedom given to us by the founding fathers who drafted the Constitution for the United States of America. This is a ticketed event, and you can get tickets at PatriotStreetFighter.com. I'm looking forward to personally seeing many of you there.
The Patriot Street Fighter Advancing the Fork in Line tour tickets can be purchased at PatriotStreetFighter.com. For tour dates and information, or to purchase your tickets, go to PatriotStreetFighter.com. That's PatriotStreetFighter.com.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork. You know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. That's 800-985-1610.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. And Chad and I are continuing to chat with Rick Rule. Now, Rick, we ended last segment really with a broad question on, are the precious metals in a bear market? You addressed that by saying, quite frankly, no. Let's turn it over now to talk about what investors need to be paying attention to within these markets. Chad, kick us off with a question here.
Well, Rick, what will it take to get generalist investors interested in the space again? Do you think it'll be something where we see negative real rates continue to punish savings instruments, as you mentioned, with inflation growing faster, much faster than the treasuries, and people may jump out of the bonds or jump out of those into the safe haven aspect of gold? Or do you think it'll be the attractiveness of the miners that pulls in some of the generalists? And what will it take to get their focus out of the FANG stocks and the runaway tech stocks and take a look at the beleaguered mining sector, which has really cleaned up a lot of the sins of the past? What do you think will happen first, a focus on the gold price or a focus on the mining stocks?
Easy answer is I don't know. I think they're different classes of investor. The investor in physical precious metals, in gold at least, is an insurance-style investor. Someone who buys precious metals because they are nervous, they're afraid, they want insurance. I count myself partly among that class. I'm in the odd position of owning a fair bit of precious metals, physical precious metals, and hoping the price doesn't go up because the circumstance that causes their price to go up is fairly dramatic. And that drama is something I prefer not to experience later in life. The precious metals equity investor or speculator is in a very different category. That's a somewhat more aggressive person. And I'm not sure that precious metals mining stocks will compete particularly against general market securities or tech stocks, but they don't have to. Their market share is infinitesimal. You don't need to change a decimal point. You need to change a hundredth of a decimal point in order to have an impact on the market. And I think that's going to occur. As you suggest, the sins that the mining industry exhibited in the 2000 to 2011 period are still fresh in the minds of both managers and investors. And the consequence of that is that the industry thus far, with perhaps the mistake of the penny dreadful industry, the penny stocks, but the real mining stocks have been run prudently, perhaps too prudently in the last 10 years. One consequence of that is that they are generating cash flow in amounts that the industry has never seen before. And that cash will ultimately get spent. It will perhaps get spent on capital projects. It will perhaps get spent on mergers and acquisitions. It will certainly get spent on dividends, and it will probably be spent on share buybacks. All of those are good for the equities prices. Every single one of them, at least in the near term, is good for equities prices. So I believe that the metals will go higher because I believe that the metals compete with other forms of savings products which don't work in this environment. I believe the equities will work, both because I believe that the metals prices will go higher, but also because I believe that they're fundamentally cheap, even at today's precious metals prices. So I think the answer to your question is yes and yes.
So, Rick, I guess just to summarize all of this, look, I do agree with you that debt, low interest rates, negative real interest rates, inflation, that ties in with the negative real interest rates, these should be key drivers to gold. And even with gold above, let's say, 1700 right now, it is still broadly higher than it has been through its history. However, it is off of its highs. But for that speculator, when they're seeing the equity markets and tech stocks and a wide range of other stocks continue to move higher, and then they look at their gold stocks or their silver stocks and see them continue to break down, especially over that last year, it does scare some investors away. I know that you always say investors should like lower prices. That means they're getting stock on sale. The problem is they've underperformed the markets for so long that it has driven away a wide range of investors and even pushed some other investors into some other newer markets like cryptocurrencies. Why do you think that is, and how does that actually get changed from the speculator standpoint?
It gets changed when it's too late, Corey. That's the way markets work. On your show 3 years ago, I was talking to your listeners, telling them, asking them to buy uranium stocks. I did everything but call their damn broker for them. That isn't what they wanted. They wanted pot stocks. there isn't much to be done in the near term for people who are inhabited by fear of missing out, or for people who propose to overpay. All I propose to do is be their pawnbroker. When an asset class I find is attractive is out of favor, I buy it aggressively. When it returns to favor, I sell it aggressively. It's interesting that the same people who I couldn't beat into buying uranium stocks when they were selling at a quarter of the current levels are now begging me for stock tips. That's the nature of human nature. It's why 90% of speculators are losers. It's why people go to Las Vegas casinos. There seems to be a determination on the part of most speculators to lose.
That is unfortunate, but true, and especially true for, unfortunately, those speculators in the precious metals. There was a nice window to make some money off these precious metal stocks, but boy, oh boy, a lot have corrected very hard, and I know that has driven a lot of investors out of the precious metals again because, well, as we hit 2100, all we were hearing is the price is just going to keep going higher for gold, and unfortunately, that has not happened, and every bottom we come to, we keep on hearing, this is the start of a new run higher. Boy, oh boy, we still have not gotten there yet, but who knows, one of these days, hopefully that whole narrative will change, but right now, there's a lot going against the precious metals, and yes, you can have a long time horizon, but some people can only last in positions, especially when they're seeing losses for so long. Rick, I know that you have a special offer for all of our listeners. If they want to share some of these stocks that they hold with you, please take us through the special offer.
That offer is this. If you care about what I have to say about resources, but more importantly, the resource investments that you have made, if you visit a website, ruleinvestmentmedia.com, all one word, ruleinvestmentmedia.com, enter your natural resource stocks there. Please, by the way, no pot stocks, please no crypto, please no tech stocks, just resource stocks. I'll rank those 1 to 10, 1 being best, 10 being worst. I will comment on individual issues where I think my comments might have value. And in addition, if you mention charts in the question and comment section, I will include the Barron's Gold Mining Index chart, which we referred to earlier, and a 100-year commodity chart, which talks about just how cheap commodities are relative to other asset classes going back 100 years. Once again, ruleinvestmentmedia.com.
All right. Thank you for that offer, Rick. I will post a link to that website to make it easier for everybody. And one other thing to note, if you are listening to this on the radio, be sure to visit our website, kereport.com, and click on that weekend show posting because the interview that we recorded with Rick Rule was much longer, and we actually got into uranium and copper stocks as well. Rick, great having you back on the show. I'm going to be reaching out to you a bit more regularly as hopefully this market starts turning here, but you have laid out some, I guess, long-term optimistic comments for all these precious metals investors. Everyone, stick around. We're going to be right back with Joe Mazumdar.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Cortland Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
You USA Radio News with Mike Fortier.
Dr. Anthony Fauci, impressed by a new COVID pill, Merck and Ridgeback Biotherapeutics announcing Friday a new pill to treat the virus. Fauci discussing the pill in yesterday's White House briefing.
The company, when they briefed us last night, had mentioned that they will be submitting their data to the FDA imminently. The data are impressive. In the placebo group, there were 8 deaths, and in the treatment group, there were no deaths. That's also very important and very good news.
Merck says the pill reduces hospitalizations by 50% for those with mild to moderate cases. This would be the first pill to treat COVID if it gets FDA approval. Merck says it'll seek that approval immediately. China flexing its military muscle. The country on Friday flies 38 military jets into Taiwan's defense zone. Taiwan says it deployed its missile system to monitor the jets, but no missiles were fired. This is believed to be the largest incursion of China into Taiwan's defense zone. This is USA Radio News. Efforts to pass a big part of President Biden's agenda now stalled. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi announcing Friday that more time is needed to pass an infrastructure bill. Tennessee Republican Senator Marsha Blackburn tells Fox News the people have spoken and they don't want this bill.
They're furious about inflation, the price at the pump. And what they're saying is stop it. That is why the president's numbers are tanking. It is why Pelosi cannot get the votes together.
Biden tweeting Friday night, the infrastructure deal and his Build Back Better agenda will make a huge difference for the American people, and together we're going to get this done. Efforts to get the bills passed comes as Biden deals with low approval ratings. The Rasmussen poll out Friday shows an approval rating of just 42%. He hasn't been above 50% in over 2 months. 56% of respondents disapprove. That puts Biden 14 points underwater. Filipino President Rodrigo Duterte announcing Saturday he's retiring from politics. He had previously announced he would run for vice president in next year's election. He says, though, the overwhelming sentiment of the people of the Philippines is that he's not qualified. This is USA Radio News.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A.com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I hope everybody enjoyed those first two segments with Rick Rule. In the next two segments, we're going to continue focusing on the resource and commodity sector as we are chatting now with Joe Mazumdar, editor of Exploration Insights. Now, Joe, it's been a while since I had you back on the show. It's great to have you back on. And since we haven't chatted in a little while, I do just want to get some broad comments from you starting on the precious metals. Very similar to how we started with Rick Rule on segment one here. There's no denying that the metals, the precious metals and the stocks have been under a lot of pressure. They just went through another pretty depressed month and quarter for that matter. Joe, what's your takeaway from this market right now where it seems like we are back in an environment where sentiment is low and very few investors are actually even paying attention to the metal sector?
I mean, from a contrarian perspective, this would be the time for those people to actually, peak. This would be the time to pique your interest. With respect to the negative sentiment in the gold sector or the precious metal sector, it's being really led by the Federal Reserve in the U.S. Talking about cutting out the tapering, and then the potential for an increase in real rates, which is what everybody's watching. Every impact people are looking at is getting back down to real rates. And so if they see, even if real rates stay negative, but the trend is let's say negative 6.6% to 0%, For those guys, that's negative. If they're seeing positive 0.6% going to negative 0.6%, that's great for them, and they want to be in the gold sector. What we've been seeing, and what a BlackRock executive said several weeks ago before the Precious Metal Summit in Colorado, was that, you know, they had a significant position in the gold sector last year in 2020, around the time when gold peaked, but now their position is basically almost zero. So that is the generalist investor that all the mega mergers and all that combinations were there to attract. Like, hey, we've got the market cap, we've got the liquidity, we generate free cash flow, we issue dividends. You know, just think of us as any other company. But the problem is that the generalist doesn't need to be in the gold sector. They see the gold sector as part of their investment, macro investment thesis, that gold is good to be in because rates are negative and are going to stay negative for a while. When that changes, they leave the sector. And even if you comparatively may be the best in your sector, it doesn't matter. They're not interested in that sector. And so that negativity has basically impacted the entire sector. So the sector weakness is basically being led, and you can see it from the producers and the equity side of it, and less so from the gold price. And the gold price is still at a good spot at around 1750, when some major producers are still booking reserves at 1200, 1250. And balance sheet wise, net debt positions are much more favorable than they were in the last cycle when gold peaked at about 1960. And, you know, now what we've just seen with another mega merger between Kirkland and Agnico is the industry saying that, yeah, we're still interested in scale, and we're still interested in, you know, basically generating more value and attracting generalists. So there's obviously a dichotomy between the way the industry thinks of where they are and how good they're doing versus investors. I would say the biggest risk right now for the producing side of it is what I've seen looking at about 15 or 20 companies, looking at their profit margins from last quarter, from the June quarter versus Q3 last year, is what I've seen. You know, it's obviously a bit of a drop in the revenue because of the gold price, but you're seeing a cost creep on average of 10 to 15% that's having a negative impact on their margins. They're still doing relatively well, but they're doing less well.
Now, Joe, what do you think it's going to take to turn sentiment more towards some of these stocks? Because, yeah, the argument has been that the majors are generating some nice cash flow. However, the problem being is that their costs are creeping up, and the metal they're selling has also been trending downward. For the exploration stocks, there's just no interest. It seems like even good news can be a reason for investors to sell. So what is going to change this broad ignoring of the sector?
Well, I think on the industry side, if we see more M&A like we're seeing with the Kirklands and Agnico on the major side, if that pervades and trickles down to the non-cash flowing resource companies, that's what will pick it up, is that when we're seeing quality companies getting taken out, that's what will change sentiment. But like you said, that at least in the North American market, a good drill result or a strong catalyst can still be a liquidity moment for people just to escape the sector, which wasn't what was happening, obviously, several months ago or more. It's different on the ASX. I still see companies there that are putting out good results that are still seeing a good reaction, positive reaction in the market.
Well, Joe, another subsector and stage of the miners that have really gotten beat up are the development stage companies, because A, we haven't seen that big push in M&A, but also I think some investors have gotten bored with them in that orphan stage where they're doing the permitting and the construction and the financing. But you had made a great point the other day about companies that can reinvent themselves and get more focused on exploration, even if they're a developer, and you had used Liberty Gold as an example. I'd love you to unpack that for our audience and how that could reignite the investor interest in companies like that.
Yeah, so we're all probably familiar with the Lassonde curve and an exploration company coming up to basically converting into the development stage in the fall, like you said, about the orphan stage prior to getting into production. But Liberty Gold was on that path They produced a resource, a new resource at their Black Pine open pit heap leach gold project in the southeastern part of Idaho, which is the northeastern part of the Great Basin, which includes a lot of Carlin-style deposits, which this is one of them. They were all about exploration, and their stock had done really well. And then after releasing the 2 million ounces, which just barely met, I would say, investors' expectations, and then going into a negative sentiment in the gold sector, the stock has pulled back significantly. And I think some of it was also attributable to the fact that they were talking about putting a scoping study and then moving to a pre-feasibility study. And so then the retail sector that is less entranced with that sort of de-risking catalyst, they pulled out. But what they've done now is they, you know, last year they permitted a new area under cover, sandstone cover, that where they have the same package of the stratigraphy that hosts the gold mineralization where they've drilled right now, and they've got the 2 million ounces. They found it in another place called the Range Front, and now they've expanded their drill program from drilling up to 40,000 to maybe 60 to 80,000 meters. And so that, I would say, should get retail more excited about the stock, because now it's sort of gone back on the Lassonde curve to more of an exploration play, to saying, hey, maybe we got more resource here before we put a pin in it and do a scoping study.
Now, that's a key distinction there, Joe. Should get investors more interested. Look, there are still a lot of investors that are watching these exploration plays and also watching these development and production plays. Problem is, it just seems like investors, well, just don't have that need or that urgency to dive into some of these stocks. And we do continue to see a lot of news, even good news, being unfortunately a selling event. Now, maybe this is early tax loss selling. I know I've heard that argument from a number of people. It's tough to say. Well, it's impossible to say for sure, because hey, stocks unfortunately can always get cheaper and then people are in a further loss position. So we really need Q4 here to turn the corner for precious metals to bring in some more investors, but there's going to be some work to do because of how long this correction has lasted. Joe, we're having you back on next segment, so everyone stick around. We are going to be right back with Joe Mazumdar.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam, meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com, keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Angie's List is now Angie, and getting your to-do list done just got easier. Between back to school and with the holidays around the corner, it can feel like there's no time to tackle home projects. Whether you need help with emergency repairs or major upgrades, Angie matches you with top local pros who can get the job done right. Browse reviews, see upfront pricing, and instantly book hundreds of projects. Save time for what matters most. Book your next project at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Oh, whale! Guys, whale! Wow, whale.
Oh, that's a big whale. Okay. Whale, whale, whale! Oh, no! Whale!
The tides can turn quick on the water. Progressive's boat insurance has you covered. Get a quote today in as little as 3 minutes at progressive.com.
Well, at least it wasn't a shark, am I right?
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Hey everyone, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report, and we are continuing to chat with Joe Mazumdar. Now wrapping up the first hour here, Joe, we ended the last segment talking about a company that had switched a little bit from the development side of things more into an exploration play. That's where we're going to start here, is with these exploration companies that have large drill programs ongoing. We went through this massive financing window. All the juniors, or pretty much all the juniors, cashed up, and then they went out there and started spending that money. A lot of them putting that money into the ground. Unfortunately, that backed up the assay labs, and now they're releasing news in a pretty depressed market. What does excite you about any sort of exploration plays right now?
Well, for me, I mean, I would say like it's thick intersections of continuous mineralization. That's what would excite me. And I see that in some of these companies, and those are the companies I continue to hold because I think that there's something there that's legitimate that another company would want. And that's what's driving most of the companies I continue to hold. The other reason I continue to hold some of my companies is because they're like a liquidity trap and I couldn't get out of them if I wanted to. But
I hear you, Joe. I hear you, buddy.
Yeah, I'm sure I'm preaching to the choir here. So yeah, the ones that I continue to speak volumes about in the letter are those that I think they have a legitimate chance of constructing a resource and a deposit that I think somebody else would want. So that underlying M&A, which would be more sector driven and not investor driven, is really what I'm focused. What Exploration Insights always focused on, but now it even comes more to the forefront.
Joe, how are you handling companies where there's a lot of these, I can think of a couple dozen just offhand, that have very large drill programs because they finally got cashed up a year or two ago. They've deployed the most drills on their property that they have. Some of these companies are doing 30,000, 50,000, 80,000, even 100,000 meters. And so they're massive drill programs, and they're continuing to put out results that are solid but not really moving the needle much. And what's happening is these companies are growing their market cap, but their share price really isn't going up. And so that might help the company, and that might help some company officers, but it's not helping investors. How do you deal with those kind of value traps?
Yeah, well, the problem is, like you said, is the share structure. I mean, if people just follow market cap, a lot of these companies do double in market cap, but if you notice, the share price doesn't change because they constantly issue equity. Or they've also got warrants that come in, give them money, but at a 30% discount to where they're trading. So, yeah, the underlying issue is that, you know, as an investor, we don't own a royalty. We don't own a piece of the asset. We own a piece of the company. And so we should be as concerned about the value in the numerator and the number of shares in the denominator. And so an overly dilutive company, you know, on a share basis, you may not make any money because, again, you own the share of the company, but you don't own the asset. So you got to constantly think about dilution. But in this market, you know, people are not that patient with exploration programs, not that they ever were. You know, these programs take 2 to 3 years. And the problem in the market is, you know, when after you finish your first 6 to 8 month program and now the assays are even later and you're not getting them, it's hard to go back to the market and say, okay, we're going to need more for the next program. But right now you haven't had all the assay results, and so your share price really hasn't moved. And so do you go to the market now, or are you going to wait till January, February, when everybody else is going to go up? Because everybody's waiting 8 weeks for their assay results. So you're right. It's something that's happening everywhere, it seems, in North America. And it's probably a little better in parts of Africa and Europe and Australia. But yeah, it's a phenomenon that's not only impacting, you know, share price performance, but in their ability to return to the equity markets, as most of these non-cash flowing junior explorers have to almost every year.
Yeah, that's so true. And those assay labs, it's just disappointing because there's a lot of good work going on. And companies need to get the assays back to guide some of their future drilling, too. So,
yes, I mean, that's important.
Sector.
That's important as well, because if a company is doing an infill program, like 50-meter spacing or even 25 or less to, you know, upgrade something from mineralization to inferred category or inferred to indicated, that's easy to do and you don't need the assays, really. You're just going to drill that next hole because that's what the drill pattern suggests. The problem is more in the grassroots where you're drilling 4 or 5 holes and then you're saying, okay, did I hit it? And then if you've got gold mineralization, which is not visible, which a lot of times it's not, you don't know if you should drill more in this area or that area. And so that means paying people standby while you're waiting for results or moving the rig somewhere else because you just don't have the results to follow up. Otherwise, you're sort of drilling blind.
So, Joe, before we leave the precious metals, just real quick, are you more biased or do you like gold explorers better or silver explorers better in this environment?
Silver is just, you know, more leverage. I mean, the thing is that there's very few pure silver plays out there, such that if you find one that's high grade and, you know, has a high potential to become a deposit, that should be coveted because there are so few of those. I'm not talking silver equivalent. I'm just talking about pure silver. And that's just the nature of geology. There's just not a lot of those types of deposits. So, yes, but there's so few of those. You know, if one of those drops significantly, that's something that you should consider owning, you know, like a Mag Silver or something like that, or a silver crest. On the gold side, there's more gold deposits, gold potential, but then you got to think a little bit strategically in that where do the mid-tiers and the majors want to be? Which jurisdictions do they prefer? You know, is there a plant nearby that they have to feed? And so some of the M&A that we saw last year was incremental, that they had a plant running out of feed and another company had a resource and they thought, well, I could take this and stick it into my plant. So I'll take that. Thank you very much. And so because it's taking longer to permit, you know, in some areas, you know, having that plant is even more strategic now. And if you can get a resource, which doesn't have to be a standalone even now, that could feed those plants, that's another thing that you could potentially see with M&A.
Well, Joe, just shifting focus now over to the battery metal space, we saw a pretty big run in a lot of them, copper, nickel, even some of the lithium, and you could argue that uranium stocks are in the energy metals, but just specifically on copper, I know you follow the copper space pretty well. And we had a nice run in copper this year. And the producers and the mid-tier producers ran first like we normally see. But the junior miners in copper stocks really didn't get much love. And we had talked off mic about it. And you had a couple of good reasons as to why you thought that was about where they're at in this cycle. I'd love to get your thoughts on the copper miners, in particular the copper juniors.
Yeah, I mean, the copper juniors, I mean, there have been some, copper plays that have done well and, led by grade, but I'm not sure if they would ever become deposits. I have seen some of those, but, I own one that's a developer where they don't have to put in another penny into the joint venture, and it's a relatively high-grade deposit in Alaska, and I can see that being taken out. But is there any... what impetus for that company to take them out at this point when potentially nobody else would want them? I don't know. But the problem right now is that in 10 years, when we hit the paucity of copper production, there's just no projects right now that would feed into that pipeline. And so so for us to get an Exploration Insights, to get a junior that's exposed to a copper development project that could potentially feed that supply shortfall, that's hard to get. And that's what I'm looking for. And I'm willing to be patient with those because I know those will turn. But retail might not like it because it's not putting out the sexy results. But that's, for me, a long-term hold. I'm very willing to hold on to that. I also play in copper exploration. The problem with copper exploration in the juniors, it's much more expensive than gold. You may have to drill more holes. You might have to drill deeper. And it might not always be possible for a junior to raise those kind of funds perpetually.
All right, Joe, we're going to wrap it up here. I really appreciate you taking the time wrapping up this weekend edition for us. It's great having you back on the show. Everybody, thank you for tuning in to the weekend edition here. And again, please go back through the week on our website and check out a lot of those company interviews that we took part in, as well as some of the other analyst commentary throughout the week. It was an important week for that monthly and quarterly close for the metals. Unfortunately, another down week, but look, there are a lot of stocks that have gotten quite cheap, so make sure that you're in the ones that are doing the good work, and especially right now, do have the cash to keep moving forward. Joe, really appreciate your time, buddy. Have a great rest of your weekend.
Great. Thanks a lot.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
What will you do if there's a sudden food shortage? Given recent headlines, it seems likely, and at any moment. That's why it makes common sense to build your emergency food storage supply now, while you still can. Do it with the kind of food that stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. Food that doesn't go bad like what you get at the grocery store. Whose food should you trust? The largest preparedness company in America, My Patriot Supply. We've served millions of American families going on 14 years. At MyPatriotSupply.com, our mission is your survival. Our emergency food could definitely be your lifesaver when the peanut butter hits the fan. Choose from dozens of delicious meal kits that provide over 2,000 calories a day, which is what your body needs. Order today, and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, I'm your host, Smokey Colbert, filling in for Smokey, because after 75 years of...
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Turns out there's much more to say. Nearly 90% of wildfires are caused by us humans being careless, dumping our used barbecue coals willy-nilly. Guess the song was wrong. We did start the fire. That's why I respect Mother Nature and her trees, whether coniferous or new car scented. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.